you please be seated? We do very much feel for the family at this time. May the Lord grant his gracious help. We like to say that we knew our friend quite well. We shall respectfully refer to him as Bill. We especially think of his dear sister, Mrs. Sophie Parrish. Also, of course, we think of David, Edwin, Margaret, and all his grandchildren. Let us commence the worship of God in this service by singing our first hymn. Our first hymn, I'll read the first few lines and then we shall sing together. Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command, parents, native, place and time, all appointed were by him.
Thank you.
Will you please be seated? By the help of God, I'll read with you a few verses from the scriptures, including Psalm 90 and a few verses in Romans. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Psalm 90, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction because of sin, and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up in the morning. It flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger and by thy wrath, are we troubled, all mankind. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. We turn to a few verses. It is in Hebrews chapter 10. These words come to my mind before Jesus came for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, and never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. We leave the reading of God's own word. May you help us to pray. Most holy, high and gracious Lord, we seek thy mercy. Help us as we come before thee at this time. Grant us believing hearts. Subdue our sin and awful unbelief. Grant, O Lord, thy help to sinners. And we pray especially that thou be with us. We think of the Lord Jesus that wept. He that came with that great compassionate heart as of a great high priest. What compassions filled his heart. What mercy abounded in the man. We do seek, Lord, that thou art to remember us, pleading that worthy name, seeking, Lord, for the dear family, at this time thy gracious help and support. We thank thee for the memory of my friend, Mr. William, our dear friend, and we seek, Lord, that thou comfort hearts. And remember all the family of our friend Mr. Parrish. That may we come, Lord, and seek for grace to bow humbly at thy feet as sinners must do. We pray for that especial help of God and support and grant comfort where distress abounds. But, O Lord, may we know a little of that help of God to worship. We've been reminded of worshippers. But Lord, do help us to worship at thy dear feet. We ask, Lord, that thou would be with us, each one of us, for those that are poor and frail, those, Lord, we especially commit and commend unto thee. And we pray that thou would help us to be faithful, that may we speak in that worthy name of Jesus. And do help us, Lord, to acknowledge our sin and our unbelief and fall at thy feet, even at this hour. And we thank thee, Lord, for the sun in the heaven, and we pray for the sun of righteousness in our hearts. Lord, do exceed our poor petitions in Jesus' name. Grant, O Lord, a little sweet knowledge of thy presence and thy gracious help. We would desire to come and seek that thou wilt be with us as of old when Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Lord, do help us. So we ask all in that worthy, prevailing, holy name of Jesus. We ask all for his dear name's sake. Amen. It is customary, it is right to speak a few details of our dear departed friends when they were brought for the last time into God's house. I have just a few details Some of you, no doubt, will know our friend better than I. But although not being able to say very much of the spiritual nature, I think I can say that our friend and I were always in agreement, and that's a mercy. Also, our friend, and I call him respectfully, Bill, our dear departed friend, gives me at this time an opportunity to speak unto us each, including myself. And of course, we think especially of the dear family. Well, firstly, I'll speak a few things regarding my late dear friend. He was born just a few yards away from the chapel here. In God's providence, on the 7th of January 1927, where the chapel car park now is, was the dwelling where he lived for many years. He never moved far from Swavesey village. He was the second child of Charles and Ada Parish. As with so many, he left school early, 14 years. That was during the Second World War. His mother died very sadly when he was only 16 years. His father ran a small mixed farm with some dairy cows and some orchards. During the war, his father also worked some other farms for the War Agricultural Executive Committee. Following the war, working for his father, they increasingly became an agricultural contracting business and would do contract cultivating, ploughing and so on for many miles around. At one time, my friend Bill was very much in demand, very conscientious too. In 1957, he married his dear wife Ruth Constable, here at the chapel. Ruth, as some of you know, originated from Mayfield in Sussex. Her sister married a man from Over Village, who she had met whilst he was in Sussex doing his military service. And thus her sister moved to Over, and Ruth often visited her sister for a holiday, being out of work and finding a job at Swavesey. She moved, in God's providence, to Over Village herself. And so it was that her parents also moved to join her, and Bill and Ruth married here on the 24th of August 1957. They also lived at Boxworth for about a year, but then returned to Swavesey. Had four children in their latter years, had eight grandchildren living very close. When his father retired, he continued contracting for a few years, but as farmers increasingly had their own equipment, the work declined. He also did some lorry driving for a corn merchant during the quiet season, but eventually gave up the business and worked as an employee for an arable farmer. And for the last year or so of his working life, he worked to farm in Bluntisham until forced to retire due to ill health in 1991, at the age of 64. We do not know the exercises of his heart, the prayer that we feel was lifted up in difficult circumstances. The Lord knows, and that is sufficient for us. Interestingly, he started cutting the cemetery grass, where we shall go shortly, in 1963. Maintained the cemetery diligently until 2001, when he was unable to continue, but retained an interest in the cemetery until the end. His father died in 1978. His younger sister Enid, living in the house there in the car park, died in 1990 after many years of mental affliction. I want to hasten. By this time, the old farmyard behind the family house he was born in had become, it is now, Chapel Car Park. Following Enid's death, the old house was demolished and the main part of the land shared between Bill and his sister Sophie was sold to the chapel in due course. As his health declined, his wife Ruth looked after him till she died suddenly in 2005. I've thought of this providence. He was very much sanctified by his wife. We know very little of his spiritual experience. We do know his dear wife Ruth left a very sweet testimony. Having his health declined, his wife Ruth looked after him, and she died in 2005. Now, having three children still at home, they cared for him. Margaret was much helped, giving up her work after she lost her job, and most lovingly cared, as did all the family, but especially Margaret was able to do much for her dear father. In May 2012, he collapsed and was in hospital. Remained in hospital for about 7 weeks. He lost the ability to stand or walk, but was able to return home in July. He was now confined to one room where he was cared for another 2.5 years of increasing weakness. And I had the privilege of going to see him often or regularly. He was very reticent at speaking anything. But you know, there's one thing that stands out to me. And I've said the opportunity given to me. And it refers to many years ago when my friend Bill was working for an employer. And there was an issue about Sunday working, and his employer thought it was perfectly right to neglect the worship of God and the keeping of the Lord's Day if the harvest pressed, those things which are needing to be done. And I believe that Bill stood firm on the point of conscience. And to my knowledge, he was able to continue his employment. But friends, it's the conscience part of that experience I want to bring before you. As God may help me, just in a few thoughts, so it may please the Lord. You may recall we read with you, those words belonging to the worshippers before Jesus came. We read in the Bible, the Word of God, much of those requirements for the worship of God acceptably. The worshippers had to bring a sacrifice very diligently. It had to be to the requirement of God. And they came year by year. And this is the way I want to speak to you, myself, and dear family, from the Word of the Lord. It is my custom to speak in God's name. It's the opportunity I may require. In my very early days, I was much opposed to religious things. The time came and the Lord called me by his grace, and I have to do as my master bids me to do whenever the opportunity arises. I want to direct you to these words we have read, more to the closing of our reading. No more conscience of sin. Not many words. I believe these words seem impressed on my mind as I have the opportunity to come at this time with many thoughts of our dear friend Bill and my visits to him. I want to direct you to the thoughts then, as we may have made ourselves clear, of the matter of conscience. In the hymn book, there's one hymn takes up my thoughts, the meaning of these words, no more conscience of sin. My dear friends here, meet together, know this hymn very well. It seems to take up my thoughts. In hymn 125, in the Gadsby, we read these words, and this is the real meaning of those few words, no more conscience of sin. Not all the blood of beasts, the Jewish altar slain, forgive the guilty conscience peace, or wash away the stain, but Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away. The sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. Though it does need God-given, living faith. And really I speak in three ways. That is the real meaning, very, very briefly, of course, of those words. No more conscience of sin. And then, briefly, bring before you my second point, and that is this. Conscience is that which God has given to each one. Jesus said, you must be born again. And where the new birth, regeneration is, the conscience is quickened. It begins to fear and know there is a God. It is in the power of God to use that conscience in a saving way by God's grace. So I make the point to you. It is that conscience that God makes alive. Maybe you all have that conscience made alive that God has been pleased to give, that we may fear before him. How many times do we hear the words conscience, don't we? In life's journey, in the courts even. So it is not a mysterious thing I bring before you. But it is a thought, isn't it, that belongs to us. If God open our eyes, we need the Lord to grant us a good conscience, void of sin, cleansed by Jesus' precious blood. As we have read in those few lines in the hymn, these are vital, real things that belong to our eternal standing before God. Once I had no thought about it at all. But now I do trust there is that need, the Lord, to grant a good conscience. The Word of God speaks many places of a conscience made alive. These things we seek may be impressed upon our mind. Now lastly, think of my third point, no more conscience of sins. And it is a very solemn thing today that conscience is often seared, so it is unfeeling. The things of life's journey are in Satan's hand, and very solemnly he goes about. It's a roaring lion, separates us from every evidence that conscience would bring, that we must soon meet our Maker. So it's a solemn consideration if we have no more conscience of sins, although we have been impressed in earlier years, but we need, friends, the Lord to grant to us a conscience in God's sight to really see his rich mercy. Lastly, as I speak, there are many, many things that could be said of departing from God's word, his truth, his way, his house, because of the awful malady, the awful curse of sin, so that we get harder and further away, and yet nearer to the judgment day. Well, these thoughts exercise my heart. I must only speak as God may help me. May we be able to search our short lives, and God grant us grace to turn again unto the Lord. We would have loved to have heard from Bill those things which belong to those that are in the exercise of faith and hope and love, but it has not been so, and I leave it with the Lord. But I do bring before you the truths I hope we can say that we have set before you by the opportunity in God's name, and also seek the comfort of God for the dear family that I believe our friend did possess, at least outwardly, a conscience before God. We just leave a few remarks. May God indeed forgive anything amiss. Before we sing the last hymn, I'd just like to mention the notice on the back of the little hymn sheet. All are welcome to refreshments, 97 Boxworth End, Swavesey, after the committal. And any donations to the upkeep of Swavesey Cemetery may be left in the box. And we could say in memory of our dear friend. Let us now sing our concluding hymn. Keep silence, all created things, and wait your Maker's nod. My soul stands trembling while she sings the honours of her God, life, death and hell, and worlds unknown. Hang on his firm decree, he sits on no precarious throne, nor borrows leave to be.
Thank you.
Graveside and be with us and the dear family. Lord, may we search our hearts before Almighty God and grant to us a pure conscience washed in Jesus' precious blood. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion and teaching of the Holy Spirit be with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.